After 9 months, 125 games and 401 goals, Real Madrid are once again kings of Europe. And it was a truly extraordinary goal that helped seal a historic third UEFA Champions League title in a row.
Oh, sensational! Overhead kick from Gareth Bale! One of his first touches is a touch which will go down in history! One of the most memorable goals maybe in a UEFA Champions League final!
It's a 13th title for the Spaniards after they beat Liverpool 3-1 in Kiev. Stay with us for the best reaction to the 2018 showpiece. We hear from Gareth Bale, Luka Modric, Jurgen Klopp. Plus, we're joined by special guest UEFA Champions League legend Paul Scholes on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Well, a very warm welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, we can see the Real Madrid players out there celebrating with the trophy, getting their photos. They are champions once again.
Yes, they are. And there are times this season when it looked in doubt, but they've always found a way throughout the knockout rounds, that's clear. But I think the way they responded to the various challenges tonight, and of course, you know, Liverpool had their challenges too, there's no getting away from that, was something that's really incredible. And, you know, they've conducted themselves like champions in every one of these three finals that they've won. That much is clear.
Certainly have. Here's how an eventful 2018 UEFA Champions League final unfolded in the Olimpijski in Kiev.
Harris with a clearance, hits Benzema, oh, and he's going to creep into the corner. Karim Benzema is away and celebrating as Liverpool protest, but the goal is going to stand here. Benzema celebrates down by the corner as everybody gets involved. Real Madrid have hit the front in the final.
James Milner to take, right-footed, Lovren going up for the header, Molle flinging out a foot, looking for the flag which has stayed down, and Liverpool are level.
It hasn't taken long. Sadio Mane with the response. He's the one that's got the final touch to level it up.
Breaks for Casemiro. His fellow Brazilian Marcelo, forward from fullback, is level with the edge of the penalty area. Shifting onto the right foot this time.
Oh, sensational! Overhead kick from Gareth Bale. One of his first touches is a touch which will go down in history. One of the most memorable goals maybe in a UEFA Champions League final. To swing it back in favour of Real Madrid. Bale again going for goal. Should be the KO blow in Kiev, delivered from distance by Gareth Bale, who is hogging the headlines and making this his final. It is Real Madrid's trophy again, almost certainly now.
Sure enough, 3-1 is how it finished between Real Madrid and Liverpool. Phil Blackett, our commentator for the final, joins us now. And Phil, that the goal, the second goal for Real Madrid on the day, the first for Gareth Bale, will probably be one that will be talked about for years to come.
Worthy of winning any final, sensational finish, which knocked the stuffing out of Liverpool for a second time. They'd done really well to regroup and deal with the circumstances that the game had thrown them. The early injury to Mo Salah going behind, levelling it up again, and then Bale, who'd only been on a 2 or 3 minutes, I think, comes on and contributes that, stepping up to the big stage like he owned it, delivering on all day. To even attempt what he attempted takes some courage, doesn't it? But to commit to the overhead kick, to connect with it as sweetly as he did, it just all fell seamlessly into place for him. And it's a goal that will be replayed over and over and over, not just tonight, but down the years. And for either the goals either side, the awkward moments for Lloris Karius, effectively it is that goal from Gareth Bale that won it. And what a wonderful goal it was from a player demonstrating what a wonderful player he is on stages such as this.
That's right. He has stepped up for Real Madrid at big moments so many times. And he has since the moment he touched down in Madrid, pretty much. And he did it again this evening. To be able to do that as a substitute is quite extraordinary. Again, it was a big call from Zinedine Zidane to bring it on. But the thing I think that will live with me even more than that spectacular goal by Gareth Bale, by someone who knows about scoring spectacular winning goals in UEFA Champions League finals, the look on the face of his coach, Zinedine Zidane, saying,
did you just do that? That is extraordinary.
Okay, let's speak to a former UEFA Champions League winner now. The former Manchester United midfielder Paul Scholes joins us on the line. Paul, thank you so much for joining us from the final viewing party in East London tonight. First of all, you scored a very famous goal in the UEFA Champions League against Barcelona. What did you make to Gareth Bale's overhead kick?
Oh, it was a sensational goal. There's no doubt about that. And to do it on that stage is a mark of the player, really. I was a little bit disappointed he didn't play from the start after really finding his form again the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But you know, he's played a major part, and what a goal to win a final.
I mean, how much did that help Real Madrid? I mean, having that sort of quality on the bench, Paul,
yeah.
I think if you looked at the Liverpool bench, we could see, certainly in the first half, there wasn't a lot to choose between them, and Liverpool were the better side in the first 25, 30 minutes. But did that better array of substitutes really make the difference in the end?
Yeah, I think it did. As you said, the first 25, 30 minutes, Liverpool were by far the better team. They just looked too quick, too strong for them. And then the Salah incident was a turning point in the game. In the old game, I thought Liverpool really backed off. We talk about the bench. You look at the strength of Real Madrid's bench, and you look at Liverpool's bench, and there's a massive contrast between the two. I don't really think Klopp knew what to do, who to bring on. I think he was, there was no obvious person. Whereas for Real Madrid, you look at their bench, and Bale was the obvious person to want to win the game, and he managed to do that.
Paul, did you ever think, even when Liverpool got it to half time, that they would regain the rhythm of the game that they had in the first 25 minutes? Or was that style of play, that type of match, gone once Salah went off?
I always felt that they may have a chance of getting it back after half time. You know, it happened 15 minutes before half time, and Real Madrid really started to control the game from that point, from when Salah came off. And I was hoping that Klopp would get him in at half time, he'd settle them all down, and they could go again, but it never really seemed to happen. I know they got the goal from a set piece at the post with Mane as well, but I always felt that once Salah went off, Madrid were in control and they were always going to win the game.
Could Liverpool have done any more in that second half? I mean, they were brave, they did do everything. I mean, we can talk about Salah going off, but sustaining that level of pressing that they applied for the first half out, were they ever going to be able to sustain that?
I always feel that it's very difficult to do that against a top-class team. Now, if the game's at Anfield, I'd fully expect them to do it for the full 90 minutes. But when it's away in a big cup final against a real quality team, somehow teams like that, they find a way to get a grip of the game. Now, for the first half an hour, they couldn't. Liverpool were all over them, and Real Madrid just could not settle into the game. But from that turning point, it was a massive turning point, Real Madrid really took control and showed what class and why they've been there the last 3 years, which is to do it 3 years on a try, it's a great achievement.
Well, it was my next question, Paul. I mean, it's so difficult to win this competition, especially in its format now. How great an achievement is this for Zidane and Real Madrid to win it 3 years in a row?
You can't underestimate how big this achievement is. To win the best club competition in Europe, most difficult club competition to win, in the world, there's no doubt about that. With so many great teams playing it, like Liverpool, you've got your Liverpool credit, they've been brilliant this season. You've got your Barcelona's, you've got your Juventus's, Bayern Munich's, Man City, another great team. So to do what they keep doing is incredible. And to be fair, this season, they've not been the greatest of form either, so
no.
It just seems when that Champions League comes, they flick a switch and they know they're ready to go and produce it when it's needed.
What about Liverpool, Paul? They've excited us so much this season.
Yeah.
How do they build from here?
Look, watching Liverpool this season has been impressive. There's no doubt about that. Especially the second half of the season. The goals you've got in the team. The excitement of watching a Liverpool team is something, as a ex-Man United player, hurts to say, but you have to admire good football when you see it. How can they improve? I think he'd be looking for a centre-half, obviously, the goalkeeper situation. If he wasn't looking for a goalkeeper before tonight, I think they definitely will. And I'm sure they would have been anyway. I think they know both of them aren't really up to standard if you want to be winning the Premier League or the Champions League. Will they buy a centre midfield player as well? Oh, they've got the lad coming from Red Bull, haven't they? He looks a really good player. I don't think in attacking positions they need anything. They've got real quality. Maybe if they do bring another one in to maybe strengthen the bench up a little bit. I don't think they're far away. You know, if they can cut out some of the mistakes against the lesser teams in the Premier League, I think they'll have a good year again next season.
Final one, pull on your former teammate, Cristiano Ronaldo, who's now won a fifth European Cup. Could you, when he first arrived at Manchester United as that skinny kid and all the step-overs and everything, could you have imagined that he would end up being one of the most successful players of all time?
Well, we knew he was special. Did we ever think at that stage that he was going to go on to do what he's done now for so many years? No, probably not. But, you know, knowing the lad, working with the lad, such ability, but not just that, he's got the drive, he's got the determination, professionalism to do what he does in the game. There's nobody harder working than him I've ever seen on a training pitch. You know, he was always first one into training, and he's the last one away in the afternoon. And everything he gets now, he fully deserves. And I'm so proud and so lucky to have played with him.
Paul, thank you so much for your time this evening. Paul Scholes, UEFA Champions League winner, former Manchester United midfielder. A great insight there. Following Real Madrid's 3-1 win over Liverpool, let's speak to the star of the night, shall we? And hear from Gareth Bale.
When I come on, I want to make an impact. It's a team game, and yeah, obviously, very disappointed not to start, but when you're a sub, it's a game with more than 11 players starting the game, so yeah, I had to make an impact, and yeah, I did that.
Well, politically, I'm sure in his mind, he's thinking, I should be starting. I've had this great end to the season, Andy. But he comes on, and he doesn't seem to let it faze him. He just wants to prove himself, and what he did tonight was simply extraordinary.
It really was. But I think part of that, as well as hunger to prove that he should have been in the starting lineup, is simply what Zinedine Zidane gets from all of these players. I mean, he has been back to the hilt, Gareth Bale, unfairly criticised at times by sections of the Madrid press in particular. But there's never been any doubt how much Zinedine Zidane believes in him. I'm sure that helps. I kind of feel that every time he comes out for Real Madrid, he must feel 10 feet tall, simply because of having, you know, one of the greatest personalities in European football, and someone who's clearly developing into one of the greatest coaches as well, if he's not already, behind you, makes an enormous difference.
And I think it's made a difference, hasn't it, to so many of the squad in this dressing room that so many previous coaches have found difficult to handle. The fact that he could leave Gareth Bale on the bench, and although he's admitted there to his disappointment, he comes on determined to make an impact and accepts that decision, as do whoever Zinedine Zidane leaves on the bench, because they still feel that they too have the support and the belief of the coach. And he's been able to handle this dressing room, that the egos involved, and get the best out of them, partly because of, you know, he was the best as well. He was right up there as a player, and he demands that respect. But what he does, I think, in quite a subtle way, by his own admission. Maybe he's not known as a great tactician, but certainly a wonderful man manager, because he knows what goes on in those dressing rooms. And I think he's just the perfect fit for this job at the right time. And it's all come together, and it can't be underestimated, the effect that he's had.
I think that's right. I mean, we've got an aging Ronaldo. We've got a dressing room that was maybe a little unsettled. They couldn't find the right man. And suddenly it's all worked out perfectly for Zidane. And I think I read somewhere that it's the first time there's been an unchanged 11 from final to final in a European Cup, UEFA Champions League. The same 11, Phil, as you mentioned during the commentary, that played 12 months ago in Cardiff and won.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? Not just in terms of the consistency of selection, a lot of luck involved as well, that none of that 11 in the intervening 12 months picked up an injury which would have kept them out of the final. But it shows that the faith that Zidane has in this squad. It shows, I think, the strength in depth that so many names can't get into that side, as was also the case a year ago as well. But it is unprecedented almost in terms of the consistency of selection, but it's reaping its rewards by the results that we're seeing in these finals.
We're still seeing some of the Real Madrid players being interviewed out on the pitch, enjoying their moments, the 13th European Cup. And Andy, as a club, I mean, they're way out. They are way out from anyone else in terms of teams that have won this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at those who might close the gap, well, of course, Bayern haven't been back to the final since winning it in 2013. Milan are a long way off. And then you've got Liverpool. So I think that makes it interesting, really, doesn't it? I mean, you know, we already said that this is an incredibly historic final. You know, it makes us think of 1981. But like I said, I've got this feeling that this is going to be a Champions League rival, Juve for Champions League rivalry that we've only just seen the start of. I've a real belief that there could be something going forward here, because Real Madrid aren't going anywhere. But I really feel Liverpool are going to build on this as well. I want to feel that, because they've really thrilled us this season. But the way they've adapted, the way they've improved, Phil was saying it in commentary, how far they've come since the playoff round against Hoffenheim is extraordinary. And how much better I think they're going to be next season as well. I think Liverpool are going to be one of those teams who habitually ensconce themselves in the latter stages of this competition.
Two of the goals from Lloris Karius, mistakes, there's no getting away from it. One where he tried to throw the ball out, it came off Benzema, who knocked it in, and then second, a Bale shot that was swerving towards him, but you'd expect a goalkeeper of his standard to parry away. Phil, can you imagine the dressing room and trying to... Because he was inconsolable out on the pitch, he was in complete tears. And for the players, there'd be a mixture of... You're a bit angry, perhaps, for your goalkeeper, but also you feel for him and you're upset about the moment as well.
It will be a mix of emotions. I think the reaction has to be, first and foremost, to go and try and console him, because it's almost an impossible task, isn't it? He's
exactly.
going to be feeling awful, and that will remain the case for some time. And it's a huge test of character for him. We were talking earlier in the game about how well he's done since last season, since the start of this season, to really establish himself, win the faith and the trust of Jurgen Klopp, and now to try and get over those moments in his career and move forward and become the goalkeeper that Jurgen Klopp will still be convinced that he can become is going to take an awful lot of doing. And to aid that process, he is going to need the support, I think, of his teammates, not just tonight rallying around him in the immediate aftermath, but to help him through in the weeks and months that will follow.
It will, but the UEFA Champions League final is such a big stage. It's such a big moment in players' careers. I think every feeling is so much more intense.
Yeah.
You know, you saw how difficult it was to console Mohamed Salah when he went off. And then the same for Dani Carvajal, who, of course, has been there before 2 years ago. And then Karius at the end. I think in the cold light of day, we'll say that there is no way that Karius lost Liverpool this final. You know, they came back after that opening goal. And really, as you said before, Phil, like Gareth Bale's first goal, that absolutely spectacular goal, was the moment that really, really decided the game, wasn't it? And as you said, it was a goal that deserved to finish any game. But you know, there are players before and teams before who've had difficult UEFA Champions League final experiences and come back. You know, you think of Lippi's great Juventus coming back in 96 to win, for example. It can be done. You know, you think of Milan in 2005 when they were rolled over by Liverpool, and they came back in 2007 to put that goes to bed. It can take time, but it can be done. And I think Karius and Salah and all those who feel that, you know, fate didn't really go for them tonight can look forward.
Gareth Bale, a couple of stats for you as well. Gareth Bale, the first British player score a brace in a European Cup final since Bobby Charlton in 1968. Can't
wow.
overestimate his achievements. We're going to be getting more reaction from both camps as well, because many of the players have done their post-match interviews since full-time, including the likes of Jordan Henderson, who's been out on the pitch speaking to British TV crews as well. The Mo Salah injury, and it's probably worth breaking down the two-pronged element to how that affected Liverpool, Phil, because it wasn't just the tactical and his quality, but there seemed to be a psychological effect to the way Liverpool were going about the final.
They're dead. Certainly after the injury up until half time, so a period of about quarter of an hour, Liverpool dropped so much deeper, kind of lost their attacking edge, partly because it was Mo Salah going off, of course, and the obvious attributes that he brings. But as you kind of alluded to, I think it did go deeper than that. It was a psychological effect, and they were suddenly without their talisman, Adam Lallana, who came on at a very different type of play, which is where the tactical element comes into it, because they had to try and get their heads around how best to approach it going forward from there as well, and utilise the slightly limited options that they were left with, because any team in the world would miss Mohamed Salah. But I do think they used half-time effectively to deal with that disappointment, and they did get themselves back on the front foot. We still saw a positive approach early in the second half, particularly after going behind. And until Gareth Bale came up with that moment of brilliance to put Real Madrid back in front again at 2-1, we were really seeing the end-to-end all-out attacking final that we were predicting beforehand. And Liverpool were managing that without Mohamed Salah. So they found a way to recover to an extent. But of course, when they went behind again, their chances of getting back in the game with that much more restricted without their main man being there to profit.
I suppose in the absence of Salah, and he was probably already Liverpool's best player on the park, was Sadio Mane, who did ultimately score the goal when Liverpool had that good spell to get back to 1-1. What did you think to his performance, Andy? Because I would suspect of the front three, he's probably the least talked about of Liverpool's front three.
He probably is, but he was their best player in the first half. I thought even before Salah went off.
Agreed, yeah.
You know, he had a big influence. And I think the fact that Sergio Ramos kind of targeted him for special attention, certainly as the game went on. I mean, that's the biggest compliment you can get, I think, as far as a forward player going up against Real Madrid. So he can be very proud of his performance. He never gave up. But I think the total complementarity of that front three, of course, I think emotionally, it had an effect on the team. It had an effect on the crowd. The crowd had really been... really been pushing Liverpool along. And he was, you know, the leader of all that excitement, really, that dragged them to the final. But I think you have to think about the balance as well. Like Phil said, tactically, especially as the game went on. Because, like the very greatest front threes, and I think you can look at it at Paris Saint-Germain with Cavani, Mbappe and Neymar, those three are perfectly complementary. Each of them does something slightly different and they fit together beautifully. And that's why, even post Coutinho, they've gone on and done so brilliantly in the second half of this season, Liverpool. And without one of them, I mean, it just so happened it was Salah. But if Mane or Firmino had suffered that injury, I think it would have been equally tough for Liverpool to recover from. It's just, of course, the fact that Salah scored all the goals, it feels as if he's the irreplaceable one, where in fact replacing any one of the three in that situation, when you need to be at your very best against Real Madrid, the best team in Europe over the last 3 years, it's a very, very difficult mountain to climb.
We have heard from the Real Madrid camp, I should say. Sergio Ramos, the captain, has been speaking, Phil Blacker.
He has, admitting how he knew it would be a difficult match, but says that Real Madrid have shown their hunger, their desire to carry on winning, and does claim now, and it is difficult to argue, we are a legendary side now. You need to appreciate what you're achieving. We knew how to deal with them, and also to play our own game. And I don't think anybody really can argue with those comments from Sergio Ramos, given what they've just achieved.
No, certainly not. We've heard from the Real Madrid captain. Let's hear from the Liverpool captain now, Jordan Henderson.
I thought we'd done well to get the goal and get back in the game. But yeah, mistakes, and Madrid were really good. We knew they were a fantastic side. They're always going to hurt you, and deserve to win. They're obviously the better team on the night. But I felt, especially in the first half, first 30, 35 minutes, we were dominated with the ball, had a couple of chances. So yeah, it's frustrating, obviously. But you've got to give credit to Madrid.
Yeah, acknowledging that Real Madrid do just have this knack of getting the job done. Do you think Jordan Henderson will think he can get back to this kind of stage in a Liverpool shirt?
Yes, I think so. I really do believe that. And how they've progressed individually and collectively under Jurgen Klopp this season, I mean, of course this disappointment is so difficult to swallow. But when they reflect on it a little bit, they'll think, why does it hurt so much? And it's not just because they lost in a final. It's that they lost in a final against the UEFA Champions League holders for the last 2 years. A final that they believed all the way leading up to it, and for most of it, that they could win it. And not every team would have gone into it believing that, truly believing that. But Liverpool did truly believe. And part of that was the supporters. Part of that was the history. But the major part of that was
just how incredibly good they have been in this UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, extraordinary season for Liverpool. I think they got to 41 goals in the UEFA Champions League.
Amazing.
In the end, Sadio Mane, by the way, with his goal, now the joint highest scoring African player in a UEFA Champions League campaign, with Mo Salah, both on 10. And Sadio Mane is now the joint top highest scorer for a debutant in the UEFA Champions League on 10 with Roberto Firmino. Stats I've been blurting out relentlessly for the past few days. Phil, we've seen lots of celebrations from Real Madrid tonight. They still seem to, as Ramos alluded to, they treat it like their first final. They don't get complacent at this stage.
Which I think is a key reason why they keep on winning it. And it's not just now in the aftermath of their victory that they're saying that. To be fair, every Real Madrid player that was speaking publicly before the final was singing from the same hymn sheet, that they're just focusing on this final, what has gone before. They've not forgotten about, but it doesn't count for anything. Marcelo, I think it was speaking yesterday, and he was asked about the 2014 final when he came on a sub and scored and said, well, that doesn't matter. So they asked him about 2016. What about last year? It was the same answer, yeah. And everybody was kind of straight batting those questions. But I think that was their mentality. I don't think they were considering what they'd done before. There was talk back in Madrid, in the city itself, amongst the supporters of this legacy that the team are leaving for future generations of this remarkable era of success, and the players are all too, I think, aware of that responsibility. But the best way to extend that legacy, to continue this run of success, is just to focus on the here and now. And I think they did that really well.
It's a good point. And they're actually getting close to emulating what the team of the 50s and early 60s did.
And next year, of course, the final's in Madrid, isn't it? They want to be back there.
All right, put your money on them right now. Of course, it does conclude a number of club finals in UEFA club competition. The UEFA Europa League, of course, Atletico with that 3-0 win over Marseille. Antoine Griezmann with a couple of goals. And of course, earlier in the week in Kiev, the UEFA Women's Champions League final took place, Lyon winning 4-1 against Wolfsburg. Let's look back at some of the best moments of 2017-18. Maybe your favourite is one of these.
Kane with space to run into him. He can get there first ahead of Nacho. He does. He finds Christian Eriksen, who's in on goal and makes it 3-0. 3-0 Tottenham against Real Madrid. It's a cool, composed finish, and Spurs are making memories that will last a lifetime.
And brilliantly saved by De Gea. They're claiming it's crossed the line, Sevilla. They're claiming it's 2-0, and the goal has been awarded. And Sevilla surely are heading into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League for the first time in their history.
Dybala clean through, and he scores for Juventus. And would you believe it? In the matter of 3 minutes, this tie turned completely upside down.
Lucas Vazquez denied by Buffon. Still the threat with Dani Carvajal to return it, where Ronaldo goes for the overhead kick, scores an unbelievable goal. Overhead kick finish into the corner. Ronaldo again. 2-0 Real Madrid. Well, it is almost beyond the boundaries of belief. Except this is Cristiano Ronaldo, where anything is possible.
Chingizunda with the corner, flicked goalwards, and in by Kostas Manolas. And as things stand, Roma are knocking Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League. And taking place in the semi-finals, Roma had to score three times. And score three times they have done.
Mane! Three! Sadio Mane for Liverpool. This is incredible at Anfield. Liverpool are all over Manchester City.
Now Salah, just to the left, goes to the far post. What a goal! What a fantastic finish by Mohamed Salah. There is no end to this man's talent. There is no end to his goals.
Yeah, that Mo Salah performance, particularly against Roma in the first leg at Anfield, possibly the outstanding individual performance of this season's UEFA Champions League. And I suppose we can reflect on some of the highlights of Liverpool's run, of course. The 3-0 win over Manchester City, when it was probably the one time leading up to the final that they weren't favourites. I think that'd be fair to say.
Yeah, and because of that, I think it was the moment where everybody suddenly sat up and said, actually, this isn't just a very good side. We've done well to get to the quarterfinals. This is a side that could go on and win it and make the final, as transpired. Three up inside, I think it was 31 minutes, wasn't it, at Anfield in that first leg against a side who dominated in the Premier League, who were expected to be, and understandably, given the season they were having, the strongest challenges from the Premier League to win the UEFA Champions League. And Liverpool didn't just beat them in that first half. They really took them apart. And then showed in the second half of that first leg the defensive discipline, which you wouldn't necessarily associate with a team, and certainly which hadn't been associated with the team in this run, in this competition up until that point.
So many goals this season, Andy. It was a goal-heavy season, it felt like, in the UEFA Champions League.
It really was, and I think part of that is the Liverpool-Roma semi-final sticks in the memory, doesn't
it? Well, you got 13 goals from that tie alone.
Yeah, and Roma had an incredible run as well. I think they were just behind Liverpool, one of the most exciting teams of the UEFA Champions League this season. And of course, it is about the best of the best, the UEFA Champions League. We know that, and Real Madrid have showed us that over the last couple of years. But when you have these teams coming up on the outside, like Liverpool, like Roma, it's incredibly exciting. And the way they expressed themselves, the way they played fearlessly, Roma first in, coming back against Barcelona, as we were hearing there, and then the fact that they just wouldn't lie down against Liverpool. And at one point, it looked like they were going to lose the first leg, 6-7-0?
Yeah.
And yet they were still fighting in the final minute of the second leg in Rome.
I think, for me, Roma provided one of the standalone moments of the UEFA Champions League when Costas Manolas scored that goal against Barcelona in the second leg of the quarterfinal. Having lost 4-1 away in the first leg, nobody gave them a prayer. And against a side that finished, of course, 17 points ahead of ultimately the champions of Europe in the Spanish Liga this season, Roma showed that remarkable resolve, and the celebrations that followed in the Italian capital, just sensational, the way that they were able to turn that around. And one standalone moment of so many. It seems to have been a season of goals, as you say, of late drama as well, of comebacks, of sensational stories, and that for me was right up there as one of the very best.
And it continues to be a competition that defines whether your season has been a success or not, because the likes of Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain have changed managers since the end of the season, in fact, since the end of their domestic season, really based on the fact that they couldn't get further in the UEFA Champions League. I mean, Bayern, there was a bit of a change coming overall anyway,
yes.
But defining particularly for Paris Saint-Germain, who have Thomas Tuchel now at the helm.
Absolutely. You're talking about clubs that are built to succeed at this sort of level. For Paris Saint-Germain, they've had such acute disappointments over the last couple of years. With Bayern, they've come so close. And the fact that they've come so close in the last couple of years to knocking out Real Madrid, who have eventually gone on to win the competition. I mean, it's an enormous challenge for Niko Kovac going forward into next season.
It just shows as well, doesn't it, the importance of this competition now, as you kind of hinted at, because on their way to winning it in the knockout stages, Real Madrid put out Paris, whose season is really defined by this competition every year now. That seems to be the sole target for them. They put out Juventus, again champions of Italy, putting out Bayern in the semi-finals and going on to win it, where even having got to the final, had they lost this final, Real Madrid's season would probably have been written off as a failure, given that they surrendered the Liga title to Barcelona, finished so far behind them, 17 points, but win this final, hold on to the UEFA Champions League again, and all of a sudden their season is seen as much more of a success than any of those domestic champions that they've beaten along the way.
Can you pick a player of the season in this competition alone? I mean, Ronaldo's finished top scorer despite not scoring in the final with 15. We've seen the real emergence of Mo Salah. Is it between those two players, do you think?
Possibly. I think there are others who've had big influences as well. It's really difficult to choose.
It is difficult.
I think there were so many good candidates this season. I think among the goalkeepers, Alisson stood out despite conceding 7 goals in the semi-final. I think he
was brilliant.
He helped Roma get so far. And, you know, I think it's clear you have to be that good to keep Ederson out of the Brazil team, but he was outstanding. And, you know, both Roma and Liverpool brought players forward who were just game changers, really, for the UEFA Champions League. I'd like a word for Jordan Henderson as well. He was great.
I can't look beyond Ronaldo simply because of the numbers. The argument would have ended had he dominated the final again and got another goal in the final, but even without that, to finish as top scorer in the competition for a sixth season in a row, to finish with 15 goals, he scored in the first 10 games of this competition. I know he didn't score in the semi-final or the final, which maybe does detract from the argument a little bit, but to finish with five goals more than anybody else in the competition and to contribute. Real Madrid were the second top scorers behind Liverpool in this competition with 30 goals before the final, and he'd scored half of them. So I find it hard to argue a case really for anybody else.
It's a good point. Okay, let's turn our attention back to what we've seen in the final tonight. Adi Lipinski, and hear from Real Madrid midfielder Luka Modric.
Unbelievable. I don't know if anyone will repeat this in the future. It will be very difficult. Twice was something amazing. This is really historic. It's like I just told before to someone, we watched some movie yesterday about basketball teams like Chicago Bulls, Lakers, Celtics, how they won it 3-4 times in a row, and they called them dynasty. I think they can call us dynasty in football. And this is it's difficult to find the words to explain this. It seems so easy to come there and to win it, but it's so much hard work we put in, day out.
Luka Modric there with the basketball analogy. This can delight Andy Brassel.
I love basketball analogy.
you manage to get one into every show.
But do you know what? He's absolutely right to hit that. I think that shows how incredibly hard it is to do. Because like, modern athletes in any sport are above and beyond anything in the past. I'm not saying football's better than anything that's... Today's football's better than anything that's gone before. But in athletic terms, in all sports, in terms of medicine, fitness, it's so much further forward. But the fact that the game's become so much more physically taxing means that's greater inconsistency. But what Real Madrid have found in terms of consistency, in terms of stability, is absolutely extraordinary. You don't get the Lakers and the Celtics anymore. You don't get Real Madrid winning it five times in a row anymore. Or do you?
Yeah.
Or do you?
To
do that in the modern era, he's right. It is a dynasty.
Let's hear from Jurgen Klopp speaking about the Mo Salah injury from the first half.
Of course, it was a big moment in the game. I know if you say something like that after a game you lost, and it sounds always a little bit like you are a bad loser, but it was, kind of a harsh challenge. It was unlucky then that Mo fell on his shoulder, and it's a serious injury. That's even worse, really serious injury. And the shock of the boys was obvious then. We dropped a little bit too deep until we settled a little bit. It was quite difficult, but 0-0 half-time, we could adjust a few things and playing more football again, what we did then a little bit more often again. And then the other decisive moment, the goals, they were quite strange. And that's how it is. Now, we all know the result, it's 3-1 Real Madrid, and that's why we are not in the best mood, obviously.
Disappointed, Jurgen Klopp beaten in the 2013 final, of course, with Borussia Dortmund. Let's get your man of the matches then from the game in Kiev. Phil, you can get us up and running.
Has to be Gareth Bale for the impact that he had off the bench. I know he only played half an hour of the game, but mainly the goal that put them 2-1 in front alone is probably worthy of winning him the award, but to follow it up with another as well, the impact that he had cannot look beyond him.
You know what? We never agree. We always go for someone different. We're going to make an exception for the last one this season. It has to be Gareth Bale.
30 minutes, that's all he had. Effectively, wasn't it? And he still gets your award?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Zinedine Zidane with an assist. The coaching. Well, come on, we've got to give him something. He's just had the best UEFA Champions League final winning goal taken off him.
Okay, fair enough. Gareth Bale, man of the match from the final. There will be an official one, I'm sure, on the website as well, UEFA.com. Gents, thank you very much for your company this evening. It's been a joy. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live for tonight. And of course, the season. What a superb 9 months of football we've been treated to, with Real Madrid being crowned Kings of Europe for the third time in a row and an incredible 13th time in total after a dramatic final in Kiev, Salah's injury, the bizarre Benzema goal, Mane's equaliser as Liverpool rallied before Bale's brace, including one of the best goals you're ever going to see with that overhead kick. Check out UEFA.com for further reaction to the final, and make sure you follow at Champions League on Twitter. But until we speak again, from Andy Brassel, Phil Blacker, myself, Rob Daly, and our brilliant production team on UEFA.com's Match Day Live, it is time to say goodbye for the 2017-18 UEFA Champions League season.
Carries with a clearance, hits Benzema. Oh, and he's going to creep into the corner. Karim Benzema is away and celebrating as Liverpool protest. But the goal is going to stand here. Lovren going up for the header. Molle flinging out a foot, looking for the flag, which has stayed down. And Liverpool are level. Oh, sensational. An overhead kick from Gareth Bale. One of his first touches is a touch which will go down in history. One of the most memorable goals, maybe, in the UEFA Champions League final. Bale again. Total, it is a legacy that will live on forever. It is a generation of glory, and it shows no signs of coming to a conclusion. A glory night again for Kiev, for the kings of Europe.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.